Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 7th, 2019. Greetings, saints. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. Again, that's 620-878-4682. And in the case of an emergency, call 316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, Alder Ministry Hub, which is simply
prophecyhour.com.
What'd you say?
Prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and on some FM stations. So let's pray about, please, supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and your donations keep us on the air. As you know, this ministry doesn't sell anything. On another note,
let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Bucharest, Romania, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Antalya, Turkey, Espoo, Finland, and, of course, the good old cities of the USA, such as Fresno, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Honolulu, Hawaii, Louisville, Kentucky, and then there's, just to name a few, then Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners that will listen to the podcast later tonight when the program posts.
Yeah, amen. Wichita usually is, and hello to you folks out there in Wichita. I'd like to know who all you are, but let's remember you can bring clothing and things like that to the Wichita Mission Church, eggs, all kinds of donations. Just drop in and see what we do. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77 on Twitter. Now a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will. Father, help us get this message out to the people, and please lift the veil from their hearts, their eyes, their ears. Just allow them to be able to understand the message that is given tonight. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, Mom, tell them hi.
Shalom. How are y'all this week? Hopefully fine.
And when I say Mom, she's not my mom. Although I find myself saying, I'll be saying, well, my mom said, well, she's not my mom, that's my wife.
Same way with
you, Dad. Because everybody calls us Dad and Mom, and I go, okay, now, that it's not that. Anyway, her name is Linda. Anyway, last night on Mega Man Radio, we talked about a lot of certain things happening, like sin abounding because of lack of Torah. And so we're going to get back into talking about that today. So let's start off with this first part, and I'll get this first one in, and then, you can go ahead and read this one.
Luke 13:23-27. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then ye shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in the in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity.
Well, so now that scripture right there, it talks, you workers of iniquity, and we're going to focus on that word iniquity, but the deal, even the, okay, let's go back to the Mega Man program. And folks, if you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. It's in the archives. But on a Mega Man, we were talking about how all these things were able to happen because people really simply didn't know what sin is. In fact, most of, whether it's their clothing, the programs they watch, so many things out there that they're practicing as normal are all abominations and sinful. And so you have to wonder, where is that come from? Because even in the New Testament, it points to lawlessness. Now, you say, well, that didn't say anything about lawlessness. That's what the, you know, folks would say. But if we look up the word, if we look up the word lawlessness and you do it in a concordance, what you will find, is that, the word lawlessness means, well, it says iniquity. Let's back up. The word iniquity is what we're focusing on. If you look up the word iniquity, you'll find it says being without law / lawlessness. So then you go, okay, what law? So what law would we be talking about?
The Torah.
Okay, but so if you look up the word law, though, that is the root word for law. See, law is really a bad translation. It should say Torah, which means the instructions. And as I said last night and many times before, that is as an arrow hitting the mark. It's an archery term, as an arrow hitting the mark, and it is missing the mark is sin. So hitting the mark is righteousness, missing the mark is sin. One is light, one is darkness. Now, so this was even goes back as into the days of Noah, and into the day is as a time of Lot that was both spoken by Yeshua. So I think that we ought to just play the song about in the days of Noah. That is, if my producer has it up and ready.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever down. Darkness comes, while. But most won't even listen. The devil's got 'em blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Great song. I love it. Brother Ben did that back in the 90s with his band called Remnant, the M Time Band. They sent me a tape years ago and said, use this to the benefit of your ministry. Of course, I don't sell the tape, and I don't even have the actual original tape. I've got it, most of the songs electronically. I wish I had them all, and I'm still trying to get a hold of Ben. I would really like for him to come on radio and talk about the song. But anyway, so the world, it be as in the days of Noah, and as in the days of, also it said as in the days of Lot. So these things that were going on were abominations, you know. So what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? That's Lot.
Everything that's going on in the world today?
Well, I'll give some examples.
Gays, transsexuals, sodomy.
Yeah.
Having sex outside of marriage.
Bestiality, you know, which was sex with animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was, everybody was being whoremongers and as such. And, but anyway, point was, they were being, in the days of Noah, they were being without law. And also the Nephilim were walking the earth, and that was a big part of it. We're not getting into that part of it today because that take up 2 hours. And anyway, so there's all sorts of abominations. Now, one of the abominations that happened during that time is the fact that and I guess we are going to have to go into the Nephilim, so to speak. They are a crossbreed of a fallen angel and a human being. But, you know, you have to wonder, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, if it was just the human beings that did these things and made the abominations called an Nephilim, well, but why did God destroy all the animals and such? Well, he destroyed all the animals because they were also having sex with animals. They went after strange flesh, and it speaks it in other places that you can find it in the Word. So, it's wrong to crossbreed anything, and we're going to go into that because that just stops. We'll read this first, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, I'll let you. You want to read this, or you want me to? Okay, I'll just read this one. Baby body parts and humanized mice experiments. The American Center for Law and Justice demands documentations of the abhorrent practice. Now, the American Center for Law and Justice has submitted to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases a Freedom of Information Act, a request for documentation of its humanized mice program, which uses body parts of aborted babies for HIV, that's, you know, HIV, AIDS, therapeutic development. First, to do this, the creation of mice with human immune system is horrific enough, but that these mice are being created using body parts of innocent babies is completely unthinkable, the organization said Tuesday. Second, in contradicting with the UCSF, the NIH is creating and maintaining a demand in the market for aborted baby parts. So, see, there's part of the push that when they put it off to kill, why would they want to kill a baby and push for it in the last trimester, I guess you call it, in the ninth month? Because the body parts are more important the older the baby is. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're more useful.
They're most useful, and they get more money out of them. Remember, folks, federal government funds are U.S. taxpayer dollars. That's your and mine money, and that's why you need to speak out about these things, because we're allowing this, and we're being used. Anyway, the group cited reports from just months ago detailing the incredible, disturbing experimentation being conducted by the National Institute of Health. Using the body parts of aborted babies, the NIH is creating humanized mice for HIV therapies development. Now, see here, now you're creating a crossbreed, a weird crossbreed, but it's the same type of principle that's going on in the Nephilim that the fallen angel were crossbreeding with animals. And so that goes back to the days of Noah. So here's what we know so far. In conducting the research, NIH has contracted with the University of California figures, San Francisco, and the contract requires UCSAF to obtain body parts from unborn babies to make at least two types of humanized mice. Now, the Fifth Court, U.S. Court of Circuit Appeals has ruled the undercover videos that were taken about this, that's how we found out, were not deceptive, so they can be used. So this is going further together towards a lawsuit. So Mother, I said in the first of this stopped one of the father's first principles. Would you please read that and tell me what it is?
Genesis 1, and the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his own kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And Yahweh saw that it was good.
Yeah, amen. And you know what? I think I might move that microphone back over there. Anyway, what we're seeing here is we're going to a total abomination. But this is one, and now this is just one verse in Genesis 1. But every time the father, it was said that we created this or he created animals, and it said it was good because it was after its own kind. So that was a principle laid down right dead in the first in the book of Genesis that everything should be after its own kind. And that means no crossbreeding, let alone using human being parts and putting them in mice and everything else. Now, at some point, I read other articles, and at some point, there are people out there that are even worried at what point would a mouse contain status and say you can't do anything to it because...
It's a mouse.
No, because it's humanized.
Oh.
Because they have even used brain tissue to humanize the mice and inserting it.
But they can do that with a mouse, but they can't recognize that a fetus is a human? Really?
Well, they want the human fetuses. If they did that, then they couldn't do this to the mice because that's where they get the brain tissue.
So if it's not a human when they take it, how can it become a human when they put it in a mice? They're retarded. Excuse my language, but that doesn't make any dang sense at all. It's a human when the Lord created it at conception, and it's a human when it's born, and it's still a human when they tear the baby parts apart and put them in mice. It's been a human from creation.
Okay, so why do you know those things?
Because I'm smart, I guess. Because I have the Lord in me. I know what
okay,
I know right
but,
from
but,
wrong.
But, now, wait a minute. Now, listen to me a minute. Listen to my questions. When... you got saved, and you got saved. You didn't instantly know these things. There was a way that you learned what was right and wrong, and what was that?
You read the Word of Yahweh. You study it. You breathe it in daily. What you get in, what you put out. So if you don't ever put in good, you're not going to get anything good out.
Okay. So this is fun, folks. So anyway, but it's not. It's a sad subject. But
it's really sad.
But the point is I'm trying to get you. So going by this deduction, so we learn by reading the Bible. But we just talked about the instructions. That's called the Old Testament. Now, in the Western world, at least in the United States, over and over and over, we see the church say that, well, we're a New Testament church, or all you need is a New Testament. And the Old Testament is all done away with and gone. So if you learn by reading the Word and you take the Word away, how can they know what's wrong? They can't. There's the point. They can't know what's wrong. That's why Christians that stand up against abortion and or not stand up against abortion, not stand up about being transvestites, not stand up about homosexuality, not stand up so much, even though it's about, talks about liars. What's it say about liars again?
And they are not going into heaven, that's for sure. They're going somewhere else, and it's not going to be very cool there.
It isn't like a fire. But the point is most of all these things are pointed out in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, and in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. Now, you apply those principles spiritually. It's just like people say, well, what about sacrifices? We don't do those anymore. But we learn from sacrifices and the fact that they had to do sacrifices for sin because, you know, a cow or a sheep or goat, whatever back there, that would be like, you know, they say, okay, you sin nowadays, let's give me your car. You know, car costs a lot. It's important to you. It's for your livelihood. So if you had to sacrifice a goat or a cow or something because you sinned, it cost you. And so what does that teach us? It teaches that sin what?
Cost. Has
sin
consequences.
Cost. So therefore, is sacrifices relevant? Although they all do shadows and they bring us to Yeshua. But in another principle, so to speak, they teach us those things. You know, just like food laws. Food laws teach us about how not to put bad things in us. Because if we eat bad things, you know, we get diseases from them, which even scientists say that pig meat is one of the worst things that you could eat. One of the leading causes of stomach cancer. It allows brain worms and everything else. And that's a fact, and all kinds of worms in your system. And so the Father warned us about these things. He told us not to do it. Oh, gee, where did he warn us about doing it at?
Leviticus 23.
Well, Leviticus 23.
No, that's the holy days.
That's the holy days. But my point
in
is,
the Torah.
It's in the Torah. I'm not asking for the specific scripture. And by the way, folks, everywhere in the Bible where it says the word scripture, holy scriptures, commandments, guess what?
Torah.
It's talking about the Torah because that was considered the holy scriptures, and there was no other book written. They were living the New Testament. Wasn't written yet, so whenever they make reference to those things, it's reference to the Torah and the Tanakh. Okay, well, find us at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Drop us an email. Let us know how you like the programs. Pray about supporting radio. That's always important. So go to prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back. I'm told it's actually 4 minutes instead of three, but we'll see. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful that we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful that we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth, the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow, more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and we're speaking to you on the Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and I noticed you were counting something, Mother, or Mom, Linda. What were you counting?
Well, you said we'd see, and we've seen. It's 4 minutes.
So you counted. That figure, folks, she's a little OCD, so now I got to change my thing. Instead of saying we're back in 3 minutes to 4 minutes. Okay, it's actually 3 minutes worth of commercials and music going in and out, but okay, so 4 minutes, I guess. Anyway, now you completely lost me on something. Okay, wow. Okay, I got it back. We can do this, folks. There's so much going on, and the people are just basically unaware. You know, they're unaware because they're being without Torah. If you knew your Torah and knew. Because it speaks the beginning from the end. It talks about so many things. It lays it all out. You can even tell where the Antichrist is going to come from and everything else simply by reading and studying the Torah. So right now, you know, here is a cry from my heart through this music, and I just had to play another song. So if my producer could kindly play this next song, I'd really enjoy it.
Watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. The Bible says they're walking in darkness. They cannot see the road that they're on. With pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart, and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. As they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart.
we haven't much time. The vineyard dries, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. They know they're soon to lose their souls.
Folks, that was another Brother Ben song, but, you know, there we have the same concept. It says that the people are walking in darkness, and they're walking in darkness because they don't know what sin is. The Torah gives us such a more abundant life, and it's not a legalistic book. It really isn't. I mean, it can be made legalistic by people that would teach that don't know how to teach or try to. It's not to turn you into a walking, talking Israeli Jew with the weird curls and all those kind of things. But Paul said that we all become Jews in our heart. You know, we inwardly become Jews. But what he's talking about is the spirit of Torah, the instruction, which is not done away with. You know, and why would the Bible, that people say, that well, there's a different law for Jews and Gentiles, but once you become grafted in, you become part of Israel, so it's no longer Jew and Gentile. Here's the point, though. So there is no other law in the whole Bible, period, that it speaks about for the people of Yahweh but the Torah, period. We're grafted in, we accept Torah, but, you know, we have not, the Gentile people have not been able to learn it because we weren't brought up in it, and even the Jews don't walk in it completely because they can't understand it completely. That's why when Yeshua returns, we will be like him. He is the walking, talking Torah. He is the Word of God made flesh. And we will have that Torah put in us, which is a wonderful thing. Now, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I want to tell you a report. This comes from Israel. It's called Israel Breaking News. If you don't subscribe to it, you should. And I'm not saying everything that this rabbi says is right, but this is what one of the rabbis believed. Now, right now, they are preparing themselves in Israel for Messiah. They really believe that he's coming just any time, and that Trump's helped bringing him in. So, but here's something else, though, in this report that you need to know about because it's a reality that's happening. So, now, if you don't know what Nibiru is supposed to be this other big planet that some people believe that's going to be coming close to the Earth, but we're not really going to dwell on that. It just says that this expert is a Nibiru expert, but a lot of conspiracy people know about Nibiru. Anyway, but let's go on with this. This is really important. Nibiru, years expert, after shift, says that after shift in the magnetic poles, people will live to be hundreds of years old. Okay, now that's Eliyahu Berkowitz, and that was stated by him on January 29. And he gave this scripture with it.
For through me your days will increase, and your years will be added to your life. Proverbs 9:11.
And that was
from the Israel Bible.
The Israel Bible. Okay, so, and that's just Proverbs 9:11. Go look at it, folks. Anyway, so on Wednesday, the United States government is due to release a report showing that the magnetic North Pole is shifting far more quickly than previous thought, indicating something strange is happening deep beneath the Earth's crust. On Monday, January 30th, the World Magnetic Model governing modern navigation systems is due to undergo an unscheduled update. This update has been delayed because of U.S. government shutdown. It is a vital component of almost every navigational system we use today. We're talking about GPS runs off of this, okay? Now, can you imagine how lost we would be if GPS just went down? I mean, most people
don't. You think people would really use a map again?
They wouldn't know how.
Oh, I don't think we were lost without GPS. I think we can find our way around if we just learn how to read them out.
Really, the snowflakes and the millennials and that there's a generation below them. It's called Generation Z. So do you think the millennials and generation, well, there's X and Z. There's actually three generations we're talking about. Millennials, X, and Z. Okay, but in Z, actually, they're saying that there's hope in Z because, you know, and I think that comes because every generation rebels against parents, and so maybe they're rebelling against all their parents' and grandparents' garbage. But anyway, let's get back to this. The current model set up in 2015 was expected to remain valid until 2020, but the magnetic pole is shifting so quickly that officials decided it needed to be adjusted. The magnetic pole is mostly the result of ferrous fluids moving around in the Earth's core. Now, that means lava. That's the lava that's moving around inside the Earth's core. And we've had an awful lot of earthquakes and different things, so it's really doing it. So as these things shift around, it is causing also the magnetic poles to shift around. In the last 30 years, the rate of distance that the magnetic North Pole moves per year is about 9.3 miles a year. But that changed to 34 miles per year. That's a huge increase. Moving out of northern Canada across the Arctic Ocean and towards Siberia. So, Uvilla Ovidia, which films on Nibiru, have garnered hundreds of thousands of views, attributes this recent anomaly in the magnetic pole to the approach of the megastar and its accompanying constellation. He's saying Nibiru. Now, I don't know that I believe in that part of it, but we're going to read on so that you see the other part where he says. He goes on to say that scientists would agree that a large astronomical body could create a disturbance in the magnetic field, he told Breaking News Israel. A star of that size would increasingly have its own magnetic field and would exert influence on the ferrous fluid or the lava. Now, the magnetic pole naturally moves and has been known to shift hemispheres, turning the magnetic pole into the magnetic south pole. As the poles shift, the magnetic field weakens. Scientists do not entirely understand the process behind such shift, but they previously thought such a dramatic movement required several centuries. Not so. It's picking up pace. The more earthquakes, the more lava flow, the more it happens. A recent study of fossilized magnetation in rocks indicated geomagnetic reversal that took place fewer than 100,000 years ago. Well, I don't even believe in the 100,000-year things. But anyway, the study concluded that a complete flip of the magnetic poles happened over a course of 144 years. The complete geomagnetic reversal occurred, again, about 780,000 years. We're going to skip over that stuff. But this is what he goes on to say. He suggests that such a pole shift is done because of this Nibiru. Now, I don't believe that either, but I do believe there could be a huge object. We're finding them all the time, like asteroids and things almost hitting the Earth. There could be a huge object coming close to the Earth. Okay, but listen to this. The Midrash states that Yahweh intended to flood in the time of Noah by moving two stars. That's how they claim that the Father created the flood. He explained that this caused a shift in the poles of the world. The north became the south, and the north became the south, and of course the south became the north. Dry land became oceans, and oceans dried up. He goes on to say Nibiru will shift the magnetic poles back to where they were before Noah. So, as a result, he says people will live longer for hundreds of years as it was described in the Bible before Noah. Now, I don't know that the pole shifting would cause that or not, but he goes on to say that in biblical times, it would be like, as in biblical times, And he said that there wouldn't be any wars, no disease, famine, and nature would be revived. Now there might be something in this because, you know, you realize to the fact that when Yeshua comes, he's going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and there will be peace during that 1,000 years, and things will be better. It will be replenished. Is it because of a pole change? I don't know. But this also goes along with that. They are in Israel, the rabbis and the people in Israel are awaiting Messiah and the Messiah to come soon. Anyway, he says they're trying to sell the public on global warming, claiming that scientists can't fix it by controlling the climate. He says they don't really understand climate change. They certainly can't control the weather, but they don't want to talk about magnetic shift because they cannot control it. And what they know about it is nothing. So, you know, they don't want to talk about it. Scientists confirm that the magnetic pole shift is happening right now and that it will have a major impact on the planet. Researchers estimated that the planet's magnetic field has already lost 30% of its intensity to the last 3,000 years and predict it will drop to near zero in the next few centuries. Now, I even have more. I got something to refer this to. This phenomenon is referred to as the South Atlantic anomaly. It's blamed for an increasing number of electronic failures of navigation, communication satellites, and may affect earthbound power grids. Power grids, that's not good. The shifting polarity of the planet may also be behind outbreaks of migrating birds becoming confused and dying. Now, we have been seeing for the last number of years, for no explanation, just huge flocks of birds just dying and falling out of the sky. And the same thing happened with huge amounts of fish and things. And so this could be really narrowing down what is going on. The reduction in the planet's magnetic field may have another more alarming implication that merely it's more than just making it inconvenient with navigation. Here's the big one. The magnetic field shields the Earth from most of the harmful radiation and particles emitted from the sun. So that's what it protects us from the sun. Without that protection from the sun, let's just say things will get hot. Baker expressed that parts of the planet will become uninhabitable during a magnetic reversal. The dangers could include devastating streams of particles from the sun, galactic cosmic rays, and enhanced ultraviolet B rays from a radiation damaged end zone layer, just to name a few. Now, what happens when you have these things happen? You have people tell us right now, you know, they don't want you to go out in summer without sunblock and such because it does what? It burns
UV
you
rays.
Up. Right, UV rays. And so if these increase, then it's going to cause things to burn. Now, I'm not saying this, what I'm going to have you read is thus saith the Father, but it could very well explain some of this. Read this.
Revelation 16:8-9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch man with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of Yahweh, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory.
Now, this bullshit could answer this very question. It might answer that question. We really don't know. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, or not. But it is a way, and if people want, how could that happen scientifically? Well, that's how it could happen. And it also, right around in these verses, it also talks about the mighty men of the earth, people of the earth, running and trying to hide in caves to escape the wrath of the Father. And this could be very one of the reasons that they do that is because that would be the natural reaction to be going underground or to go into caves to get away from these things. But I do believe we will still be here watching it. We're not going to be raptured out yet. And in fact, that we will be protected during this place and time because we are not appointed to wrath. And so so that's how with that one. So But again, if we read Torah, you know, it makes us aware of the various things that are going on. Now, here's a good note. Now, we're talking about going back to Torah, that we need it. People need to understand the Bible. Bible was taken out of schools. And so what we really need to do, we need to get back into Bible study. So, Mom, why don't you read this?
Trump praises Bible literacy classes in the schools amid legislative proposals in states. President Donald Trump thinks it's a great idea that the option of Bible classes is returning to public schools. Numerous states, including Bible literacy classes, giving students the option of studying the Bible, starting to make a turn back. Great, the president tweeted Monday. In six states across the nation, bills to allow the Bible to be taught in the classroom, not as theology, but as Bible literacy and historical grounds, are being considered. In an interview with Fox and Friends Monday morning, North Dakota State Representative Aaron McWilliams explained that the bill is important because it permits students to study that provided the foundations of American society, including how it is informed. As long as we're not teaching faith in the school, we can go for it, he said. Nothing the proposed Bible literacy class is not compulsory, but an elective.
Stop. That means
they can elect to take it or not elect to take it.
Right, yeah. Okay.
When you look at the Bible on its influence on our history, the system of judges comes from Exodus 18. He added, referring principles is the legal system that have biblical roots.
Yeah, and our legal system is based on, if you look at it like not incest laws and premeditated murder and all these things. Well, gee, folks, if you went and studied Torah, you would go, wow, these laws are like our laws in the United States, you know, and our moral laws. Oh, well, gee, that's because that's where we got them from.
Now, we notice that all the time when we're reading at church. Oh, wow, that's where they got that law.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it does. Even he talks about the difference between premeditated in other words, thinking about a crime and planning it out, or something that's a crime of passion. Those things are described in the Torah.
And the punishments also.
Yeah, absolutely, and the types of punishment. And, you know, so the United States was founded on the Word of God. The problem is we're taking the Word of God away. And so that's why the people are becoming more and more lawless, and then it comes up to the church. You know, well, it's the fault of the church. Because, listen, in the Torah even talks about, and I know everybody didn't have, we have a bigger advantage than they did in biblical times. In biblical times, they could only go gather once or a year or so, or go to the synagogues to be able to read the Torah or to be able to study it. Because they didn't have there wasn't a bunch of individual copies of it. There was no printing presses, right?
Right.
But now, people have dust on their Bibles. They go to church. They let it be interpreted by other men. And mind you, there is a calling of there in the fivefold. There's pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, all these different things to make the body of Christ move along, you know what I mean, come along. But so the point being is that we need real teachers out there teaching, and so people deserve to have that. But folks, if your place that you're going to doesn't have something going on with Torah and it's getting rid of the Old Testament, then folks, you really need to witness first to them, and if they won't change their way, then you need to get out of it. And we are running out of time again. So, what should we talk about? Of course I know what we should talk about, Wichita Mission Church. Mom, so what do you think? Tell the people a little bit about the Mission Church.
Well, it's a place where people come and get out of the elements of the weather and relax for a few hours and get food and clothes and counseling, Bibles, and actually, their needs be known, and then we pray about it, and usually the Lord sends what they need.
Yeah, amen. So really, folks, so pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Now, you can find a link. We can even, if you, I need to send it to you, I can send you a link to the Mission Church page over on Facebook if you're a social media person and you do Facebook, or you can go to WichitaHomeless.com. But we have been doing it 19 years, and we do need your help. It's actually a miracle. I mean, we are the poor taking care of the poor. Messiah's Branch is a home church with a building, because we were appointed to take care of the poor and homeless. That's our mission. And that's a whole radio program, and maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe not next week. You won't be here next week.
No, I do food bank next week.
Okay, so maybe the week after. And the week after, actually, you will be the week after next. I got Tom Horn coming on talking about a really great book, which we're going to talk about in the next hour today. But you won't be talking at 5, you'll be talking at 7 on that week, because Tom could only do the 5 o'clock program. And folks, that's going to be a great, great interview. In fact, if you want to hear a little bit about what that interview is going to be about, come back in an hour from now and listen to it, because we'll be talking about it. But anyway, so pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. Only through your help can we give them food, sandwiches, first aid, over-the-counter medications, clothing. We need blankets desperately. Beyond blankets, it's wintertime. They need what? What do they need in wintertime? What?
Clothes, socks, gloves, warm things to keep warm.
Or like you say, they need what you...
Yeah, what you need, they need.
Yeah, in the wintertime.
So just think about what you need to keep warm. That's what they need to keep warm. Only they don't have a house with heat, and you do.
Yeah, well, prayerfully that you have a house with heat, you know. Anyway,
funny.
Okay, we'll talk to the producer in a minute.
Right now, what our main need, what we really need mostly, is bread and hamburger and vegetables and sugar. We can't seem to keep sugar.
Okay, folks. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Okay, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. If it's for airtime, mark it for radio. You can donate online, over the phone, or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. But, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. So what should we always remember, Mom?
To be a blessing to others.
Okay, well, say goodbye to him.
Shalom. Till next time.
Well, an hour from now. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and he's gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.